Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the life of the Holy Spirit, these words of Scripture and the words spoken here. We pray for the assistance of the holy angels, especially our guardian angels. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in our Catholic faith there are many consoling doctrines or teachings. And one of those is that of the guardian angels. And they're not just doctrines, but they're real persons who are called and actually have a personal relationship with our guardian angel. The Church teaches, strictly speaking, that from the moment of baptism, each soul has a guardian angel. Now, there are some church fathers and some saints speculate even from the time of conception, the womb of that we have a guardian angel, strictly speaking, from baptism. Now, these guardian angels in our lives, they want to help us to achieve salvation, to be in the kingdom of heaven, to praise God for all eternity. They want to help us in so many countless ways. But their effect in our life is to the extent that we have recourse to them. I want to speak about the angels today, because in the scriptures here today, the angels are mentioned. We have in 1 Peter, the first pope, who talks about Jesus after his resurrection was gone into heaven, his right hand of God, with angels. So his angels are there. And then here in Mark's Gospel, the Lord drives out and is driven out into the desert. He reigns there for 40 days, tempted by Satan. What happens? The angels minister to him. The angels come to his assistance. And throughout the scriptures, hundreds of times, literally, the angels are mentioned and brought up. Now, we have many weapons at our disposal for fighting sin. It says here in the scriptures, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent means we realize that we're sinners, we have to fight and overcome it, and believe in the gospel. And the number one way to do that is what? Prayer. We're asking God for help anytime, any place. Then the sacraments, especially confession. It's like a nuclear bomb fighting against sin. But also to a weapon that we often forget, more than a weapon of a person, is that of our guardian angels that God has given us. They could help us in so many different ways. So I'm going to tell you several stories. But before that, just a little thing from the catechism, some snippets. In your Catholic catechism, you can look this up. It's paragraph 328 and forward. A lot of things about the angels. Here's a couple of bullet points. One, the existence of the spiritual, non-corporeal beings that sacred scripture usually calls angels is a truth of the faith. And throughout the history of the Church, it has always been held. With their whole beings, the angels are servants and messengers of God. And guess what? We're called to serve God with our whole being. So we have the angels assist us to do that. Because they always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. They are the mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. Again, the catechism goes on. As purely spiritual creatures, angels have an intelligence and a will. They are personal and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures, as the splendor of their glory bears witness. Christ is the center of the angelic world. They are, quote, his angels when the Son of Man comes in glory and all his angels with them. They belong to him because they were created through him and for him. And angels have been present since creation and throughout salvation history. Just pick up the Bible and you could read. It's hard to go more than two pages without something mentioned about the angels. And then Catechism number 336, from infancy to death, human life is surrounded by their watchful care and intercession. And there's many scripture quotes. And St. Basil says, besides each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd leading him to life. Already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith in the blessed company of angels and men united to God. Now, I have many wonderful books, Catholic books on the angels. And I say Catholic because there's some New Age fluffy stuff out there that's false, where sometimes this angel of light, what St. Paul calls an angel of light, is really a demon. But Pope Pius XII said, this is for all of us, and other popes have said this, Pope John Paul II actually had six catechetical talks on Wednesdays consecutively, all devoted about speaking about the teaching of the angels. But Pope Pius XII encouraged the faithful, quote, have a familiar relationship with the angels, whose constant care is directed towards your salvation and holiness. What's Lent about? Growing in holiness, getting rid of sin. God willing, you'll spend an eternity of joy with the angels. Learn to get to know them even now. Now, the angels. And good angels and bad angels, how do they affect us? They don't have access to our mind and will. That's forbidden territory. They could take the guess away our bodily reactions and eyes and how the things look, but they have access to our imagination, sensibilities, and memory. Sometimes people may have fallen into sin, they may have repented of it, but the devils, the bad angels, bring up maybe memories of illicit pleasures from the past to try to get them. Or the devil will work on the imagination. You know, your marriage isn't going well to right now. It's not going that well. No, you can go on Facebook and find out your high school sweetheart from 30 years ago and see where that person is. And maybe so the devil works in the imagination, the sensibilities, and the memories. But the good angels too. The good angels try to bring to our mind holy things, maybe read in the scriptures, the lives of the saints, or something that maybe we learned in religious ed or schools or something. Maybe your grandmother prayed the rosary every day, told you. Now, how does the devil work? Does he just jump out behind the bush and just stomp on us like a big lion? Well, St. Peter says he goes about like a roaring lion, but he does it in a very subtle way. St. Vincent de Paul says, what the devil does, his first strategy for all of us to take us down, is the devil will try to distract us from our morning prayers. As simple as that. Because the devil knows if we start the day off humbling ourselves, we get down on our knees, asking God for his help, his assistance, right at the beginning of the day, that we're then living in the power of Christ. So the devil says, no, you got too much to do. You got to go here, you got to go there. So a spirit of pride, I can do it by myself, a lone ranger. I don't need God's help. And then right at the beginning of the day, we don't have the protection of God. Because he knows, St. Vincent de Paul, that if the spirit of frivolous thoughts is the first to fill us, the devil will have greater control and greater power over us during the day. If you've gone through periods of time where you're agitated more often, it seems like you give in to impatience more often, well, that's generally just a warning that you're not praying enough, that the devil, the evil spirits are getting greater control and influence over your imagination, sensibilities, and your memory, because you're not plugging into God. Now, the angels, again, they're not just like fluffy, made-up creatures, poetic or something. They're powerful, 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 powerful. They were there that first battle that broke out when Lucifer and Satan said, we will not serve, I will not serve. Well, the good angels, which are a majority of them, two-thirds of them, they're battle savvy. They've been through battles and they want to help us to be victorious. But the priests, when we pray our divine office, the angels come up all the time. They come up in the Psalms. And in fact, at the end of each day, we pray this prayer, Lord, we beg you to visit this house. I'm saying the parish, the parishioners. Lord, we beg you to visit this house and banish from it all deadly power of the enemy. May your holy angels dwell here to keep us in peace. And may your blessing be upon us always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. So the priest is praying the divine office, and we're supposed to make that vow when we're deacons. There's great spiritual protection for the priest in his life praying the divine office, because we're calling the divine assistance, but especially that of the God's assistance through the angels. Now, back to the evil spirits and how they battle for the soul and how God wants to protect us. I'm going to take two examples, and there's many, from the Diary of Divine Mercy. You know, St. Faustina, our Lord appeared here with the red and white rays coming from his heart. She said there was one particular time, this is 1930s, you know, you have the rise of Nazism, and some of the comments are threatened. And she said, I asked God to arrange it that no evil person would dare come to the gate of the convent. And then as she went to the gate, I heard the words of the Lord, my daughter, the moment you went to the gate, I sent a cherub angel over to guard it. Be at peace. After returning from my conversation with the Lord in chapel, I saw a white cloud, and on it a cherub with his hands joined. His gaze was like lightning, and I understood how the fire of God's law burns in that look. Another example from the diary, paragraph 1565, she said, one particular day I entered the chapel, and the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to her in an audible way. My daughter, help me to save a certain dying sinner. Say the chaplet that I have taught you for him. See, many souls for salvation is dependent on our praying for them. You have people who have been away from the church, who fall into mortal sin. Satan has a great power over them. They're not living in the truth. A lot of times we believe lies as truth. And so our Lord, actually, in his providence, how he set up, our prayers are so vitally important for salvation, not just for us, but for others. So our Lord said, Faustina, There's a soul here who needs prayers. She said, I began to pray the chaplet of the divine mercy, as the Lord asked. And then she had the vision. I saw the man dying in the midst of a torment and struggle. His guardian angel was defending him, but he was, as it were, powerless against the enormity of the soul's misery. So this was a soul who didn't pray too much during life, let alone have recourse to his angels. So the angel was very limited what he could do for this man. And then she said, I saw a multitude of devils were waiting for the soul. You are ours. We're taking you down to hell. They're waiting there. Souls of mortal sin. But while I was saying the chaplet, I saw Jesus just as he's depicted in the image of divine mercy. The rays which issued from Jesus' heart enveloped the sick man surrounded him, and the power of darkness fled in panic. The sick man peacefully breathed his last. And when I came to myself, I understood how very important the chaplet was for the dying. It appeases the anger of God. But the point here, here's a gentleman who wasn't praying, so he received a great, great mercy from God at the last moment. He has this saint, St. Faustina, doesn't know him praying for him, for his salvation. Now, he may still be in purgatory to this day, but he's not damned with the devils in hell, right? So there's this battle that's going on. Well, just a couple of, a couple stories here, another aspect of the angels. Not too long ago, I was at a conference, and one of the main speakers is a priest who I had as a professor in seminary. And this professor, he has doctorates in theology, philosophy, studied in Rome. He wrote three books on psychology. And we're trained in seminary, you know, we first look at the natural for any explanations of things, okay? So we'll take that all into account. So he said, he's getting onto a plane, and he gets a phone call, emergency phone call. This lady's going through great distress. This person had other difficulties at the home. Weird things happening, okay? So he said, I'm getting on the plane right now. I got to call and turn the cell phone off, but I'll say a prayer for you. So he said, he closed his phone, turned it off, and he said, guardian angel of my priesthood, St. Thomas Aquinas says, the priest at ordination, the special angel, given another one. Guardian angel of my priesthood, go and assist the soul, for I cannot be there right now. So after he lands, he calls, and the lady says, Father, you sent your guardian angel. So he played dumb. What are you talking about? He says, the minute I hung up the phone, a big, powerful angel appeared here in the home to come to my assistance. Then his priest went on, he told us some other stories. One, he was driving in Omaha, in the street about 50 miles an hour, and two cars in front of him just came to a stop for no apparent reason, just immediately. And he said there's a car between them, he screeched on the brakes, car behind him. He just says, one of those moments, you can't do anything, you know the accident's going to happen right now. That's it. He braced himself, I hope I'm going to live. But when he opened his eyes, his car had gone around this and was in front of the accident, it was behind him. Well, he prayed to his guardian angel every day. He prayed the litany to the guardian angels. Another story. Priest in Maryland. He's in his 40s, about my age. I studied in Maryland at Mount St. Mary's Seminary. And it was the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he started off with his morning prayers. He was asking the Lord for a special sign. Okay, and he prayed the litany to guardian angels every morning, asking their assistance, and he was involved with healing masses. He would go to a church called St. Raphael. So St. Raphael, the book of Tobit, as an archangel is involved with helping with healing. And he prayed to the Blessed Mother, Blessed Mother, I know you are Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know that I love you very much. You are also the Queen of the Angels. I know I am not worthy, but because of the merits of your Son Jesus and his divine mercy, I humbly beseech you to send me St. Raphael to give me a sign that what I have heard in my heart is from your Son. So something had happened, and he was asking the Lord for confirmation of certain actions should he proceed. So his name was Father Scott. So Father Scott, that evening, the Mass of Our Lady Guadalupe, he said he had forgotten about the prayer that he had prayed that morning. And after the sermon, after the creed is over, it's the presider's chair, and they're doing the prayers of petition, the prayers of the faithful. And he's looking towards the front of the church. He sees the religious ed coordinator, the Spanish lady, getting the kids ready to bring up the carnations and roses. And he said, right next to her, I see this young man in his 20s with light brown hair with a big picture, big painting in a frame with a radiant face around his body like an aura. Now, this wasn't planned ahead of that. This person just appeared to him. He looked different, but completely human, nicely dressed with corduroy pants, shirt, sweater, like a suede jacket. Quote, he was radiant. the most penetrating, loving eyes that exuded love, and he had a huge smile. It was as if he was my best friend, surprisingly. He walked like he was on a mission to fulfill what God wanted him to do. He walked up the aisle reverently, but quickly. He was in control. Nothing would stop him. He just came down, but he didn't do it in a way that was pompous. He didn't float. He walked like a normal person, but quickly, with his big painting on his right side. And there was a light that was shining on him, or a spotlight, an aura upon his body, even though his body was normal. And throughout the whole thing, his eyes were in contact with me. And he came up, he genuflected, he reverenced our Lord. Now they're bringing their things up there, giving the priest the offertory. He brings his picture up. And when he went up the two steps, he laid it against the lectern, and he said to me, "You have to bless it." The picture. I was shocked. He even said, "You must bless this." His facial expressions never changed. There was a complete love and tenderness, but he was there, and you could tell that he was on a mission. And he said, I couldn't walk up to him. I couldn't move. Something kept me from moving. I couldn't speak. It's similar to the children of Fatima. When the angel appeared to them, they were just sort of like awestruck, even for days afterwards, he said. He said, I couldn't speak. All I could do was observe and receive. Afterwards, he turned around, genuflected, went out, and listen to this. So as he goes out, the wood doors, what do we have here? Just similar setup. The doors open by themselves, and then there's another set like glass doors there. And he said, before my very eyes, he didn't go to the right or left. He just vanished. And then it occurred to him that it must have been St. Raphael. That Our Lady had heard the prayer that he had prayed that morning. It was a confirmation of where he was to proceed. Now, our angels, and you've heard this before, but your angels not recycled. God in his creative genius has created billions or billions, maybe trillions, zillions of angels, an angel specifically for you. And, you know, different states of life, a person, a priest, or a bishop, a pope, there's other angels also that are assigned in addition to the guardian angel. Now, guardian angels are, this is from a litany, I'll give you just a couple of things they do for us. A counselor. You're trying to make a decision? Ask your guardian angels to behold the face of God to give you counsel. Defender. Not just against spiritual evils and Satan and temptations, but also physically, when you drive in your car, to protection. Your guardian angel is a faithful friend. It's a consoler. Guardian angel is a brother, a teacher. Our guardian angels love us more than our parents. The guardian angel, witness of all our actions. That can be good and bad. Guardian angel, help me in my examination of conscience, right? At the end of the day, were my intentions, was I doing the things for Jesus? Guardian angel, intercessors, the book of Tobit. They take our prayers, they pray with us. You know, at the offertory, when we say, holy, 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 all the angels then gather here, and they're praying, we're praying with them, and they're helping our prayers to go to heaven. Guardian angels are our guide, our light. Now, you know the prayer. If you know it, you can recite it with me. Let's just say the angel of God prayer. I'm going to point out four things from that. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here. Ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. Amen. I love having the children recite that prayer. And then I ask them at the end of the prayer, so what are the four things the angels do for us? And then they look at me. To light, to guard, to rule, and guide. It's a beautiful prayer, powerful prayer, but it points out what the angels do. They give us light to help us to see between the light and the darkness. What is of God, what is not of God, what is pleasing. They guide us, you know, in so many different things. I'll give you the story here. There's a prayer to Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, okay? And as a Bernardine sister's religious order, Bernardine sister was shown in spirit the vast desolation called by the devil throughout the world. Guess what? We don't have to have any mystical revelation to know that. All we need to do is turn on the TV and we can see it. So she saw this. At the same time, she heard the Blessed Virgin Mary telling her that it was true. Hell had been loose upon earth. And that's from the book of Revelation. Remember, Satan goes out to make war against those who follow the Lord and keep the commandments. Remember that? Huh? The other ones, he doesn't. He has them already in prison. Prison, they're his. He has possession of them. But so she sees this. And at the time, he come to pray, Queen of the Angels, and to ask her of assistance of the heavenly legion to fight against the deadly foe. So the mother was asking, pray to the angels. So this good nun says, but my good mother, you are so kind. Couldn't you just send the angels while are asking? And that's what she says. No, Our Lady answered, because prayer is one of the conditions required by God himself for obtaining favors. Prayer. If you want your guardian angel's assistance, ask and beg. It's an act of faith. If you're there, and you're asking for help. The Blessed Virgin communicated the following prayer, bidding the sister to have it printed and distributed. And here's his prayer. August Queen of Heaven, Sovereign Mistress of the Angels, Thou who from the beginning has received God, from God the power and mission to crush the head of Satan, we humbly beseech Thee to send Thy holy legions, that under Thy command and by Thy power, they may pursue the evil spirits, encounter them on every side, resist their bold attacks, and drive them hence into the abyss of eternal woe. Amen. My dear friends, during this Lenten season, turn to your guardian angel. All the time, the beginning of the day, the end of the day, during the day, when we receive Holy Communion, ask your guardian angel, you can do this. Dear Lord, to the extent that my guardian angel can participate in Holy Communion, I make that intention. That endears the guardian angel to you and you to him. The guardian angels can't receive Holy Communion and they can't suffer for the Lord, but you can make that intention. So this is real. Take advantage of it. And this, I'll finish with this. Some people think it's no big deal. It's a sin of omission if you ignore your guardian angel. A sin of omission. We want to be sinless, right? Because if you're not sinless, you can't go to heaven. And if you die, and it's not in the state of mortal sin, but venial sin, then you have to be purified in purgatory. So don't forget your guardian angel. Have recourse. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.